Hello, my name's Hillary Allison. I am unfortunately associated with no one at this point. I was just really lucky in my final semester of graduate school to have Carla believe in me, so she gave me the opportunity to intern with her. And this is the work that I did with her from November of last year to wrapped up in April of this year. So we utilize, the title of course, Utilization of the New Hampshire Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System Work-Related Injury Data to Better Understand Underreporting to the Workers' Compensation System. Not something you want to try to say really fast. So just a brief introduction. As you, I've learned through the last 2 days that you guys are so aware of this, all of it. And I had no idea when I wrote this, so just keep in mind the blue tag here. So an individual's work is a social determinant of health. You are all aware of that. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says that a working adult will spend more time working in a day than any other singular activity, even sleeping. So sustaining an injury due to work conditions, of course, affects one's ability to thrive, and it affects their health. Occupational injuries have been underreported since reporting came into place, really. Continues to be an economic burden to the society, and because they're underreported, workers' compensation is underutilized, leads to misdirection of claims, and that, of course, leads to the economic burden of individuals' personal health insurances being charged out-of-pocket payments, and in some cases, we actually found that Medicaid was the primary payer for work-related injuries. New Hampshire. I should continue to say that. So, of course, there's limitations to public health data sources capturing true magnitudes of work-related injuries. As you've heard a couple times tonight, the BRFSS really is great for finding information that you might not find elsewhere. You're all aware, annual telephone survey. So, this study, I actually was following up on a previous study with the 2008 data, and it really does complement it, and it really does update it. And it's still consistent that only about half of the work-related injury events are being reported to and covered in full by workers' compensation. Listed here are the previous studies. So our data source, you guessed it. BRFSS. We used 2012 to 2013. New Hampshire. I forget we're not all from New Hampshire here. So New Hampshire added work-related injury questions such as injury severe enough to warrant medical attention and what was the PAIR source, the end result of that injury. The question was in 2008 and then again from 2012 to 2013. New Hampshire also added industry and occupation questions, and that's been since 2011 to date. And as of 2013, 22 states have the industry and occupation questions. So we did a descriptive analysis of these questions using SAS, and like everyone, we are meeting the rules of 50 and have the relative standard errors of less than or equal to 30%. Standard analysis methods were used to account for, complex sample designs and the weighting. The variables that we chose to analyze included age, education, gender, income, and I also we included health insurance status. Variables were further analyzed by NAICS and SOX system, and again, over the past 2 days, I've come to realize I don't really need to explain much about this, what these mean. But the North American Industry Classification System and Standard Occupational Classification System. And then, of course, the pair of injury. New Hampshire residents that were 18 and older, self-employed, or had been out of work less than 1 year at the time of interview. If it was more than 1 year, if it was both years, they were not counted in this study at all. we're just going to pretend that one didn't happen. So our results. So keep in mind, New Hampshire's pretty small. We had a total of 280 respondents saying that they had work-related injury events. Total of 280 respondents, 4.7% of those reported work-related injuries serious enough to require medical attention. And of those 4.7, 86.1 were employed for wages. Nearly 21% did not have health insurance coverage of their own. And women reported fairly equal injury events as men, fairly equal, which was a pretty big change from our previous study. Women had reported half of the injury events that men had. So work-related injury by payer source. Workers' compensation ended up covering just over 50%, 53.4 in full. 46.6 were paid for by other sources. You can see the almost 20% by personal insurance, and then almost 28% by all others. And all others included out-of-pocket payments on part of the employees. And then government-sponsored plans such as Medicaid, Medicare, and the partially covered claims from workers' compensation. So, injury by industry. You can see the accommodation and food services accounted for the highest at 9.1%, with construction following closely behind at 8.1%. Healthcare and social assistance and manufacturing came in very similarly. And then, of course, retail, trade, public administration, and educational services make up the last three groups for reported injury events by industry. Reported injury events by occupation, building and grounds cleaning and maintenance was by far the highest at 12.2%, followed by construction and extraction. And production being very similar to construction. Moving down from there, you have transportation and material moving, installation and maintenance and repair, sales and related, healthcare practitioners, technical education, training and library, and office and administrative support. So what about it? Well, all of the respondents that are employed for wages, with the exception of contracted self-employed, are entitled to workers' compensation insurance, you know, regardless of how much they work in a week or if even they're allowed to work in this country. They are still covered. The problem with just over 50% being covered is the economic burden that falls to pretty much everyone else. It falls to the employees themselves. It falls to the taxpayers when it ends up being funded by the governmental programs such as Medicaid and Medicare. And it falls to the families, too. You know, the butterfly effect. Everyone is affected. There's lots of reasons for underreporting. That's pretty well documented. Individuals' perceptions of what a work injury really is, you know. Some construction guy that's used to it gets a really bad cut. He puts some duct tape on it and gets back to work. He doesn't really think about it. And I actually know a guy that did that. Concerns over repercussions at work. We heard some really interesting stories yesterday about repercussions for a migrant worker. He had to say it wasn't related to work injury. Confusion over what is reportable versus what isn't reportable. Employees preferring to get the paid sick time over, you know, workers' compensation and losing time. A work environment where incentives are given for not reporting an injury. I know that could sound somewhat confusing, but think about safety awards. Like if you have a big rig truck driver, you know, hey, good job, no problems, no accidents were reported this year. Here's your little plaque and your bonus. So not necessarily an incentive, an outright incentive saying don't report these injuries, but very subtle. So fear of job loss, Could be language barriers, or of course misdiagnosis. So again, as we've heard today, that the industries and occupations that would have the highest prevalence or usually have the highest prevalence of injury represent low-income, part-time, more hazardous types of work. They're more likely to be, you know, contractors or self-employed and therefore less likely to be covered by workers' compensation. And they might not have any insurance at all, although that is getting less common, little bit by little bit. Of course, limitations. Data with unweighted frequencies that were less than 50, relative standard errors that were higher than 30, none of this was reported. Reporting bias is always a possibility when you have individuals self-reporting, under or over-reporting. Oh yeah, I got hurt at work 6 times this year, but maybe it wasn't truly medical necessary to go to a physician about it. Focus on injury alone and not illness, so we're not capturing chronic conditions or really even just illnesses. It doesn't have to be chronic, it can be acute. And then, of course, limitations of the small numbers of respondents. Therefore, you know, could not analyze for those employed for wages compared to those who were self-employed. We just didn't have enough self-employed to be able to do a comparative analysis. So conclusions. Let's utilize this existing survey to capture the industry and occupation information and work-related injury events. It's critical to better target public health prevention efforts. How many of you guys have thought over this today and yesterday, man, we got to get somebody who's not occupation in here so that they know how important this is, right? So ultimately, it would be great if it could be industry and occupation information could be integrated into the core BRFSS, not optional, just integrated into the core. I hear that's coming up for debate soon. It could serve not just occupational health and safety, chronic disease, infectious disease, environmental health, and other areas of public health, especially if you're considering work site wellness strategies. Be great to be able to really hone in. Some potential policies discussions that could be opened up with having this is workers' rights, regulations on eligibility and coverage of workers' compensation insurance, collection of industry and occupation within the medical record, and then cost containment and cost shifting among the various insurance carriers. So references that I used. Thank you. You're welcome to ask questions. I'll do my best and defer to Carla when I need to.
Yeah, I have one. Did you say the total sample size is 280?
Yes.
So was that all of the verdicts?
No. They're just in relation to the specific targeted questions. So we had 280 injury events,
okay,
which represented 4.7% of the total BRFSS population.
We collect about 6,000 interviews a year and about 3,000
events. Yes, I thought. New Hampshire is not that small.
Oh, but we are.
So did you look at the different kinds of injuries, or was it just all injuries?
Injury, yes, no. It was a dichotomous result.
There really isn't a question that can get to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose then we could maybe look at other health outcomes that, you know, maybe chronic, I don't know. We could speculate.
Did you have enough data to look at health insurance, yes, no, apply for workers' comp, or did I miss that? Or?
Yeah, no, well, I kind of, yep. I didn't go through this table in great detail.
Okay.
Where is it? Here it is. Am I allowed to point?
So I was able to ask about health care coverage. You know, it was
happen to be part of the survey anyway.
But, right, whether or not I then applied for workers' comp based on that, whether I had health care.
Oh, based on the insurance. Oh, I'm sorry. No, yeah, I didn't.
We didn't have numbers big enough to do that.
You wouldn't have.
But did you show underutilization of comp by industry? Did you have a slide on that? Like, where you could say what percent?
I could say what percent was injured in that industry.
No, underutilization of comp by industry.
But not by industry of who.
The numbers are too small, yeah.
Yeah, actually. I'm going the wrong way, sorry. Yeah, I just have the injury by industry and injury by occupation, not necessarily the workers' compensation utilization, yeah.
Yeah, once we started to split it out by injury, you know, we had just tens or numbers, you know, I mean, it's very.
That's where we looked at it and we saw that this strange finding that there was the underutilization in hospitals, and we realized we think
people are right.
You know, that people don't know who's paying for the insurance.
I mean, as we get more years of data, we can start
working on it. Well, that or we do, you know, so Dave led the effort, and whatever year that was for the multi-state, where we got about 50% of people did not apply for workers' comp. And now that we have industry and occupation, there's so many more things we can look at, and that's another way to increase sample size. Mm-hmm.
So, Darren.
Well, maybe I missed it, but did you do you have like workers' comp data that you can take your prevalence estimate and get an estimated number of injuries, and then compare that with other data sources and just see how what your survey shows and what maybe how many workers' comp claims are submitted or how that compares to the SOAR?
No.
I'm just. Not really a strict comparison, but just to kind of see ballpark, you know, does the BRFSS capture a similar number?
That was brought up, but, you know, obviously I'm not super great at this, but as that was brought up, I had asked about that, and it was, for this particular study, for the time limitations, it was really hard because it was like an apples and orange situation where I would only really get like a quick snapshot and it wouldn't be accurately represented. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, again, we don't have great access to workers' comp claims data.
Okay.
I have to just rely on, you know, the Excel spreadsheets that the Department of Labor gives me. I mean, I don't know. It's worth thinking about.
Yeah, and
for sure.
The reason why I asked is I have an injury or illness question. So it's injury or illness on RBRFSS. And I compare that to the number of workers' comp claims and in a year. And surprisingly, that was within like 100. And like, you know, it was about 30,000. And those were almost the same number. I was just surprised that I got that close in comparison.
Yeah.
But, you know,
David, so what was the question again you used to assess whether or not they were injured? Could you state that?
Yeah, well, I didn't state the question. The question, what's that?
It was if
they, within working the last 12 months, have they sustained an injury
severe enough
to warrant medical attention?
That was in 2007.
Yeah.
So I guess I want to frame a whole different idea, which is that there's a lot of people who are out there who are working in pain, and that pain is probably caused by work. So it may be, you know, ultimately culminating in like a musculoskeletal disorder, a back disorder, or shoulder. And, you know, maybe one of the, and the reason why I'm saying this is that the people who actually go see a doctor is often a small proportion of the folks who may actually be symptomatic. So I wonder if a strategy on Burpees, I mean, I'd love to actually own Burpees, and then you're probably have to get things on it. But, you know, maybe it's one of the strategies we should think about, or people who are working in pain, trying to sort of figure out a question to capture that. Because if we start looking at just those who are ultimately seeking medical care, and or actually filing a workers' compensation claim, we're actually really significantly underestimating those who are actually having problems at work. So maybe that's an idea we push down the road, but I want to throw it out there.
Just for fun, may I play devil's advocate?
Great, go for it.
How would we be so specific as to ask if the pain is related to a prior work event? Only because
in the last 12 months, have you experienced, that pain caused from lifting, blah, blah, blah.
That's only if OMB will allow us to do that.
We don't do OMB.
We actually had questions like that in the National Agricultural Workers Survey. And what you did see is that for chronic pain, it was like four times the rate of what you see for an acute injury. So yes, what Dave's saying, it's not perfect. I don't think Dave would look at the questions we had to use in that survey and say, this is what I want to use. But it does get at the point that you can ask that question, and you can ask them, is it related to your work? And this is with a very difficult population to deal with, because most of them are migrant, most of them are not legal. But you still get reasonably useful information from them about this. And so I think it is something that needs to be looked at.
I guess I would just add that there are a lot of questions on Burpees already that are really similar. They don't have to ask them as occupational, but they ask a million other things, and it's already too long. So, I call Burpees. That's my job at college, and it's too long. The survey class that I've taken says it is too long. So I'm just saying, maybe that you can convince people to take a question that they already ask about chronic, about pain in general, because they ask a lot of them, and just ask them, do you think this is work-related? Because that's really the heart of it, right? It's just they believe it's work-related more than, it's hard to, if you can't really ask someone, is it actually work-related? They're not their physician. Just combine it.
So it's looking at the disability and pain questions in the Griffiths and seeing if we can
I think that's it. Yeah. I mean, even if you're going to do that, it'd be to look at the take our IO data and look at the pain questions, the chronic pain questions, and see what that.
That would be a first step.
Yeah, that would be a first step. But I think also there's another lesson too. Birth have to learn how to take some questions out.
Yeah, that's part of the issue.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.